When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Welcome to Sewing Out Loud, the official podcast of ZD Sewing Studio. Here are your hosts, ZD and Mallory.
Sewing Out Loud.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. I'm Mallory Donahue.
And I'm ZD Donahue.
And today we're going to talk about pattern drafting, as in when you draft your pattern. You okay over there?
Yeah, I was going to, like, I guess, pull the microphone into
my
chest.
She's just gonna knock it off the table or something.
Like, very bizarre. I've used up all my energy today. I've done a lot of work.
We have done this before, right? Podcasted?
Oh, yeah. No. I don't know. My short-term memory's going.
No, it's got to be your long-term memory, though, because this is, I don't know what episode number this is.
But it's been over a year.
It's been, yes, over a year. It'll be 2 years in January of 2018.
That's right. That's right. You're right. So, and this is October of 2017.
17. Yeah.
So we're pushing 2 years here.
And that's a lot of episodes. So that's one a week. So, but I think we did enough bonus episodes where we're over 100. And people ask about things. And sometimes I, in the group, and I'll like think about answering them. And then someone will go, oh, there's a podcast where they talk about that.
Except we can't. Okay.
And
so
I don't
have a good list. We have the same list of the podcasts that you do, basically, is to look it up online, right?
Yeah. And
and so if we can't remember what the title was or what podcast it was particularly in, we have all this trouble. We have to go back and forth behind the scenes and not let you guys know, but we're asking each other what podcast was it in.
Well, or we rely on a really awesome group member. And then also,
that works too.
Also, sometimes we've talked about certain things in a podcast that maybe it's not indicated necessarily by the title that we spoke.
That's what I'm saying, because it's like, oh, well, we talked about bias, but the podcast wasn't called Talking About Bias.
So write that down.
Okay.
Duh. I don't think we've had a podcast about bias yet.
I thought we did. No?
We did the Warp and Weft.
we'll have to. Oh, yes.
Warp Speed, Weft to Right.
Weft to Right.
Okay, so drafting your own patterns. ZD drafts many, many, many of her own patterns, not only for herself, but she has lots of experience in drafting for other people as well.
Yes.
Many, many other people, and not just individuals, but like groups of people as well.
Yeah,
so,
and those days are
in the past now.
I think so. I always say that, and then something happens. Like, remember the day we had to make the color-changing dance costumes where the dress went from green to black or black to green? I can't remember.
Yeah. Or then when we like ended up costuming a show choir again. And I was like, what are we doing?
Yeah, that's the last time.
Yes, yes. Okay, so let's first talk about...
I hope Bob Bohan doesn't listen to this.
Yeah, whatever. Let's talk about when you draft for yourself first.
Uh-huh.
Do you think that's a good idea?
I think it's probably the easiest person to draft for first in some ways.
Uh-huh.
In some ways, you know, because of course you have to measure yourself. And the worst part about that is you have to be honest about your measurements.
Well, I was going to say, they're probably, if you aren't costuming or something, there's probably no one who's like, hey,
draft me a pattern.
Spend a lot of time making something for me that might not quite fit and you have to alter.
Right. Well, I think probably the best way to draft patterns or to learn to draft a pattern is to do like a buddy system.
Oh, okay.
Because you can have help in measuring yourself. Uh-huh. Although with our new fancy measuring tape.
Guys, if you don't have the Easy Check measuring tape, you have to get it.
Yeah. It's like you need to get in this millennium.
Yes. It right. is, you must have it. Get some for your friends.
Oh, I gave them to like kids going away to college and things like that, like all kinds of gifts, and they were thrilled with them. People do not have measuring tapes don't sew. They don't have them at all.
You get a discount if you buy five.
Yeah.
It's like a pack.
You know, when you give it to those kids, like those college age kids, all those kids are like getting married and then they need to be measured for something. And, you know, anyway, it worked out.
They need
to
know
if
they're moving their bed, like if it'll fit. But
I mean, they will. Or they'll want to. Now you order so many things offline, it's like for a waist measurement of 23 to 25 inches, and they don't know what their waist measure. They have no idea.
Right.
They have no idea. So they also don't have any idea where their waist is, but we can help them with that too.
So there's a lot of drafting classes out there.
Yes.
And I've heard good things about.
I think a lot of them are really good.
Like some on Craftsy. We have a couple simple ones on our site. We have the Easy Tee. We have the leggings class.
Right.
We don't have anything that's like super fitted, tailored. Super tailored.
Right.
Yeah,
tailored,
fitted is not. But super tailored yet. But how did you start drafting for yourself? Or what do you think? Talk about the process.
You know who really taught me to draft?
Who?
Really, really taught me to draft. Because I had drafted before, but I don't think it was Gosia.
Uh-huh.
And she was from Poland. And it was communist Poland, like she was from.
Right.
Is there even a Poland anymore?
Yeah, there is.
Yeah.
A Poland.
I always get worried about those countries come and go. But anyway, they didn't have a choice. They couldn't get patterns. They couldn't get fabric. You know, she told me stories about drafting a blouse pattern, and then they made it out of like diaper fabric.
Uh-huh.
Because they couldn't get anything.
Right.
So she knew how to do anything with anything.
Right.
Yeah. So I learned a lot from her. But I remember buying patterns and having to absolutely redraft them.
Reconfigure, redraft.
Yes, because I am not proportioned at all like the patterns. And I'm not sure anyone is.
Few people are.
Right.
I think.
There's a lot of people wearing patterns straight off the press. And they really don't fit them. They think they do until you point out, oh, your shoulders are too wide, or that neck is too wide for you. Or so. I mean, a lot of people will, you know why? Because it fits better than the ready-to-wear.
Well, this goes back, if you haven't listened, I know we did this podcast.
Right.
The expectations of the ready-to-wear, the self-sewn, and the self-drafted.
Right.
I see some people wearing some leggings that are like commercial patterns.
That are awful.
That
we think are awful.
And they're just
we
like.
We think they're awful.
Yeah,
they think they're fine.
They're just like so excited about them. And then I see people totally nitpick their self-drafted leggings. Now,
which is really funny, yeah.
These might not be the same people, of course. But I think it's like, it's funny what we're willing to accept and not accept.
Yeah, it's really not accept from ourselves.
Yeah.
But we're always, I think traditionally anyone who makes anything. Or tries something or tries to learn, you know, we're most critical of ourselves.
So talk about drafting for
yourself.
Those
pants you have on I made and drafted.
I know. So you started out using commercial patterns, of course.
Of course, because I didn't know how to sew at all.
Mm-hmm.
But I was, 13, I guess. And I remember getting some odd shapes.
Yeah.
And I remember they told me to buy, you know, basically the literature at that time or whatever was you buy for your biggest measurement and of course mine was my bust.
Right.
So I was this person who is in retail probably back then I think a size 6 back then is what a size 2 is now.
Right.
Okay. So I was like a size 6 say at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Which is funny because it's smaller than I am now and now I'm a size 2 or 4. But anyway, that's called marketing, everyone. But on a pattern, I would need like a 16.
Uh-huh.
You know, it was humongous. And the only place, actually, it didn't even fit in my bust. Okay? It really didn't even fit in my bust because the bust would never be in the right place, of course.
Right.
You know, it would. The bust would turn out being like, it wasn't that the bust was too low. It was that the shoulders were too high.
Sure,
you know, and I had to figure all that out. And here's what happened. This is why I think I really got into the, when I finally figured out people drafted their own patterns. I had one pattern that I used for like 15 years that I would draft everything off of.
Right.
Because it wasn't hard for me to go, oh, I can put a pleat in that. Or, oh, I can add a sleeve or shorten a sleeve or add a cuff or whatever I was going to do.
Right.
So I had this one. I still have it. In fact, I will tell you what is made out of it. The Alice in Wonderland dress is made out of it. And your red Russian dance dress was made out of that pattern. But I could, it was a basic, it was a shirt waist dress pattern.
Mm-hmm.
So it actually had a waist in it.
Right.
Which I didn't realize probably wasn't what I should have been working from. But I should have been working probably from like a sheath.
Sure.
But I also did have a sheath pattern that I made every single sheath out of that I wore. So I kept these patterns forever. And I would buy a pattern at that, okay, in my developmental years, right?
Right.
I would buy a pattern. I go, oh, I want that that collar or I want that placket. And I would buy the pattern only for the placket.
Yes.
And then I would look at the pattern and figure out how they did the placket, and I would incorporate that into that one dress pattern.
Your sloper,
I had
your pattern.
Yeah, I didn't know it was my sloper. So, nobody told me this, that was my sloper, but it was.
So when you get a sloper, or I think, so that kind of sums up like your journey
it's
a little bit.
It's where you start, right.
You know, but you started from commercial patterns and you finally got something. Okay, there's this pattern that fits me.
Well, and it didn't fit me at first. I made it
fit me.
You finally got it. And what I did, I did not know you made muslins.
Uh-huh.
So I had like three or four dresses made out of this pattern.
Uh-huh.
And finally, that third and fourth dress were perfect. You know, the first dress was like a little wide in the shoulders.
Sure.
I could still wear it.
Sure.
You know, I still wore it because it looked better than any ready-to-wear, of course, that I could get. But, you know, by the time I got to that's what hit. Oh, my gosh. This third and fourth dress is perfect for me. I don't ever need another pattern size or shape. I just need details.
Yeah, we don't have a lot of basic patterns in our collection.
No, they're bizarre
all like,
patterns.
Oh, whoa, there's this weirdo flounce on the skirt or something,
right.
You know, like that we didn't want to like figure
right.
and draft. Because some of those things you have to drape. But so once you get your sloper and your pattern for your basic garment, and let's think about this. There are lots of different types of garments. So
yes.
Mom's talking about this pattern that she's had forever.
And now that was woven.
There we go.
And
yes.
fitted. Woven, fitted, shirt, waist, dress.
Okay. So you can have a sloper for a knit t-shirt as well.
That's right.
You can have a sloper for pants.
That's right.
For
leggings.
For leggings. For pants that are going to be made of like stretch fabric.
Right.
Or for pants that are going to be made from a woven.
You can have a skirt sloper. Now,
yeah.
You don't need a blouse sloper if you have a dress sloper.
Or a skirt sloper if you have a dress sloper.
Well, yes,
well,
you do. Well, here's the deal.
Uh-huh.
If you have a dress sloper, it's usually a sheath.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's basically a straight dress that has, you know, some darts in it that it's made to skim over your body, right?
Sure.
Okay. And this is also a thing. To skim over the body. This is not supposed to be a sausage casing.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be fitted, but it is not a sausage casing.
It has ease in it.
There is ease in it.
Now, there's a teacher who a lot of people in the group really like. I think her name is Susie Fuhrer. And we talked about this. So she was, oh my gosh.
Does she teach without ease?
She has you make, what does she call it? It's not a maquillage, is it? I can't remember what she
calls
it.
I don't know. There's a couple of different names, of course. We had a podcast on those names, too.
Yeah, we had a podcast where she has you make something that is, I mean,
it's like your dress form. It's like what you would stuff to make your dress form.
It fits to you skin tight.
Yeah.
It would look like a sausage casing on anyone because it is so skin
right.
tight. Whereas the sloper that Mom's talking about, and I don't, you know, I've never taken her class.
No, I'm sure that that's a method that
and
probably
that's a way
works.
That's a way that can work.
Here's my deal. And this is how I feel about dress forms, too, if we want to get a little bit off on that.
I think it'd be good to talk about that.
Okay. A dress form is fine, but you cannot fit a dress to a dress form. A dress form doesn't move. It doesn't have, there's parts of your body that are fluid. Okay. If you're truly that firm, I want to meet you because I want to know how you did that.
No, it doesn't.
You know,
duplicate
I mean,
your body.
We're just not that firm. And we have to move, and we have to bend, and all those things.
Dress forms can be great. Actually, this might be another episode. Dress forms can be great.
People ask about dress forms all the time.
They do.
And honestly, you do not need a dress form to fit a dress to you.
To you, yes.
You need a dress form to drape, and we can talk about draping.
Talk about that some other time. So you didn't go through the process of I'm going to take 60,000 body measurements and then draft this thing and then add ease or you know add ease and then draft it and then add.
Not in my developmental years, as I'm calling.
So I just want to say that it's okay. So I have a ginger jeans pattern,
right?
That I have modified a bit.
And now it's your sloper.
Now it's
for
my
pants.
Sloper. So if I want to change the yoke on the pants.
Add a pleat to it.
Add a pin tuck.
I mean, you could make that a trouser pattern,
yes.
So to speak.
Yes.
Now.
I could do lots of things to it. So you, listener, dear listener, if you have a very simple dress pattern or trouser pattern or whatever, you know, that you have that you like.
And you think it fits.
You need to think of it as a big asset.
And I mean, on that envelope, put. You know, sloper or something in parentheses or no, you know.
I see sometimes.
Some that you know that fits you and you like it. And it's a pattern you can lay on top of other patterns or something like that.
I see sometimes people buying like the same pants, I feel like, over and over. They're just like a different length.
Right.
Now, I'm not saying that you shouldn't do that or that it doesn't take a little bit of like fiddling or familiarity with garments or something.
Right.
But it's possible you could be duplicating some things big time.
Well, you know what bothers me in the group on Facebook is when somebody says, what's a good pattern for pants?
Yeah.
And I'm like, uh-oh, it's good for everybody. Now, I mean, everybody's sincere.
Sure, sure.
You know, I mean, and people go, oh, get this. Okay. It may not even come close to being okay for that person.
It depends on the
individual. It just may not even come close. You may even sort of look alike, you know, and you think your body shape is similar, and it just doesn't. It might turn out to be hell to fit.
Well,
to
and
you.
I think why here I am again. I think why people sometimes will. A lot of people have said, "Why is this ginger jeans pattern so popular?" Why is it popular?
Well, it's because of tutorials. That's why it's
lots
popular.
Lots of tutorials. Lots of people have talked about it. Right. Lots of people have talked about modifying it. So I think it's a quote,
it's
good pattern.
It's because the information's
but
out
yeah,
there.
Yeah, that's the big thing. That's the big thing about it is that information is out there. So if you think about that a little bit.
So she's made a product and she backs it up.
She backs
that's
it
That's why
up.
It's a good pattern.
Yes, and other people back it up, and so many people have made it and talked about it that you can get an idea. So that's a good thing. But yet you might have a sloper. You might not know it, I think is kind of the point.
That's the point we're trying to make, I think, is that you could have if you've got something that really fits, hold on to it.
Yes.
Hold on to it. Think of, you know, the bust starts happen to be in the right place, the shoulders are hitting in the right place, the neckline is hitting in the, you know, I saw somebody the other day that's like, oh, I finally got something to fit, and they had a picture on, and there was a big gap in their neck, and I thought, okay, on this garment, she doesn't mind about her neck gapping, it's going to be okay, but if she thinks that really fits, it doesn't.
Well, there was a lady in the group who posted that her daughter... a dress she was making for her daughter, and it looked like her daughter was pretty busty. And she said that it was too tight in a certain place, and I said the bust darts are too low.
It's in the wrong place.
Pinch up those shoulder seams, and then it won't be too tight. Then the volume will be where the volume is on
where
her body,
supposed to be.
And I thought, I hope she like saves that because that's. Where that girl needs bust darts all the time now, you know, she can add sleeves to that. And, you know, a sleeve, if you love some sleeve from some pattern, you duplicate the arm side and the sleeve on your pattern.
That's right.
Bam. You know, but you haven't had, now you don't have to mess with that bust height bust dart height or anything like that. You got that.
And that's true of if you buy a pattern just for the sleeve, there's nothing wrong with doing that.
No, it's fine.
Okay, because especially when they cost a dollar. Yeah. When they go on sale or $1.99, I'm like, I'll buy that sleeve pattern for $1.99 if I don't have to take the time to draft it. The paper's there, it's drafted. I may have to redraft the arm's eye.
Yeah.
But big deal. A sleeve cap, big deal. That's nothing compared to, and I'm talking about something that's, you know, complicated, not like a straight sleeve.
Sure.
But, you know.
I don't want to draft collars. When I see certain really beautiful, like, statement collars, yeah. I'm like, let's just buy that. Oh, you know, okay. Like something that is, there's some pretty patterns from decades of style where it's this collar that has, like, four layers of, and it's, like, bias bound and stuff. I'm like, well, I'll just let them do the work, you know?
I mean, you're saving time.
Oh, sure.
But you're going to put it on the dress or whatever or the shirt that was a sloper. So I don't know that we answered. I think somehow I did not answer the question about a skirt and a dress and a blouse sloper.
Oh, okay. Let's go back to that.
I don't remember saying that.
I said, have a skirt and you were like, no.
So commonly it's a sheath dress.
Okay.
Okay. So there's no waist.
Yes. Okay.
Okay.
Got it.
So it's easy to use that as a blouse or a jacket because you've got your top.
Yeah.
But you have not drafted a fitted waist. And in most skirts, you want a fitted waist. Mm-hmm. You know, you've got a waistband that you zip or buckle or whatever.
And that's how the garment is held up versus the dress. Right, right, yeah.
So, oh my gosh, a skirt sloper is so easy to make. And that's what we should do next.
That's what Mom wants to do next
it's
for
so
class.
Easy. It's so easy to make a skirt
sloper.
No,
it's not easy. You need our class.
Once somebody shows you, it is so easy. Right. I mean, and if you've got one hip high or one hip low, which I'm sitting across from somebody that has that particular issue, it's your back.
It's my back.
It's
fat.
Your like groin. No. Or not your groin, your loin. It's your
is
loin.
Is that my loin?
I don't know.
It's really pronounced right now.
She actually, Mallory actually has like extra tissue on her one hip. It's really bizarre. Like, it's not the bone.
When I'm in really good shape, it's there.
Still there.
And when I'm like right now, not in such great shape, when I weigh like 40 pounds more than I'm used to weighing, it's really pronounced.
No, when I first noticed this, she was like a preteen, and I was like, oh no, she has scoliosis. And, you know, we go to the doctor, and he's like, any concerns? And I'm like, yeah, check her back. And he thought, I think the doctor was a female. She thought so too. And she said, well, wait a minute. She starts pushing on it. She goes, this is soft tissue. Like, there's nothing wrong with her spine. She's like, I don't know. She's just lopsided.
Yep.
So Mallory's lopsided, everyone.
I'm right-sided when I, like, dance and stuff. Mm-hmm. And that's the side that is more toned.
Is it?
Yeah. And then, like, I store some
it's just very
fat
weird.
For the winter
it's,
over
it's
my
like
left
somebody
side.
Put a little extra fat pad on the left side. I don't understand it.
Okay, so what if I need a skirt sloper and I have my funny
you will
hip?
Actually have it will look a little bit different on the left and the right.
That's why you also that is why you also do not try on garments inside out to fit them.
Oh, I know.
Stop telling people to do that. Oh my God, I hope nobody gets offended that I probably shouldn't have said it like that.
Well, if you know you're symmetrical, it's probably okay.
Well, and on some
but
it's not
you
necessary.
Know, why are you doing it?
Stop
all
it.
You have to do is pin it.
Yep.
The right, okay, pin it while you have it on.
Yep.
Take it off. Leave the pins in. Now, sometimes if it's like your back seam and you have to open up your back seam to get out of it, you will have to take those pins and just put them on one side of the fabric so you can unzip it, right?
Yep.
Okay. And then you take it off and then you turn it inside out and you mark where those pins are.
Yep.
It's really that simple. And then you mark that on your sloper or your pattern or whatever.
So the skirt sloper is different from the sheath dress
sloper. Yes, I believe so.
Our point.
So what, you know, I would say that what you need in your barrage or your arsenal or whatever, your arsenal of slopers is a sheath, a skirt, and a pant.
A sheath, a skirt, and a pant.
Right.
Well,
and you could make anything from that.
You need and you put your sleeve on your sheath for your
yes,
blouse.
You do. Yes, you do. Yeah. And usually you only do one sleeve because usually sure. they're the same, right?
Sure. Okay, let's take a message break because we are 20 minutes into this podcast.
But I'm having so much fun.
So much fun.
Everyone, you know, the audience is asleep, but we're having a good time.
Mom, this podcast episode is brought to us by the So Long and So Happy edition of the So Here box.
Oh my goodness, where did you get that saying?
I know. Somebody really smart must have thought that up. I mean, it just has so much to offer there.
That's right.
You're supposed to sew for a long time.
A long time, or like goodbye kind of a little bit in a podcast.
Yeah, you're supposed to be happy while you're sewing.
That's right. So the longer you sew, the happier you'll be.
And then also just like, so long. Thanks for listening.
So long. Farewell.
Wouldn't you like to wear a t-shirt that you made, that you self-sewed, that said so long and so happy on the front of it?
I could be very happy wearing that
in
t-shirt.
The signature mint green. I think the hex code.
Okay, I don't think that's mint green.
You I do.
It's light teal.
Okay, well, the hex code, whatever it is like 76D2C5, just in case you want to look at that on your computer. And so anyway, if you would like to do that, then you should order the last Sew Here box of 2017, which you can do by going to sewhere.com/box. Our signature keystone product in there is the custom printed fabric panel.
There's another custom product they're going to be real happy with.
There is. And we're not going to talk about telling you.
If I can keep Mallory's mouth shut, it will be a total surprise.
We might like show it somewhere. Okay.
Oh gosh. See, she cannot keep a secret. Like at all.
There's going to be a special pair of scissors.
Yes.
There's going to be a couple of very special tools,
in
the box, and then some fun things for you to use to customize.
Our little custom things that we think up.
And customize your sewing space and customize your life with fabulousness from sewhere.com. So the Sew Here boxes are set to ship between December 1st and December 15th. So you pre-order them now by going to sewhere.com/box. And choose Sew Here Box Shipping when you check out to get free shipping both in the U.S. and internationally.
And I am not going to let Mallory add the number of boxes we ship out after we've already closed the orders once this time. She does that all the time. I swear, Sam and I are not going to let you do that.
Okay, well, we're going to ship out 1,000 boxes. No, but seriously, there's only going to be 250 of them. And I believe at this point, we have already sold 100. So if you're wanting one for a gift for yourself or someone else for the holiday season, or if you just like to get everything that Zadie and I make, we will put a lot of care and
love. And a special love note.
Into these boxes. So go to sewhere.com/box and order one today.
Sewing out loud.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And we're back. So before we move on to talking about drafting patterns for other people.
For group and groups.
Yes. Mom wants to talk about pattern recommendations.
Right. And I said pattern recommendations, you know, you're not always going to be happy with what the other person was happy with. But a lot of times when something is recommended, what you will get in the recommendation is that the directions are easy to follow and it is well drafted. You know, now, if I want a loose cardigan and all I have to worry about are my shoulder measurements, then that's, you know, that recommendation for that is probably I'm going to be happy with.
Sure. But sometimes people will say this isn't easy to use because of such and such, and it has nothing to do with the fit. You're totally right.
Right. So.
Okay. So mom has drafted costume patterns for, in particular, I feel like the highest volume of your work was when Lindsay and Hillary were in high school. And yes. they were doing show choir. And somebody messaged us a while back and was like, you say that you have made thousands of costume pieces or blah, blah, blah. Please explain. Well, 50 kids times however many costume pieces. Well, okay. So
it,
you know,
and it wasn't one costume.
Right.
So they, each child or child or performer, excuse me.
They're children.
Each performer may have 4 costumes.
Right.
Or, and even with the 4 costumes, there may have been other pieces. Mm-hmm. So it was not unusual for me to truly make thousands, you know, of costumes in one year.
And you were doing 2 show choirs.
Well, I was doing show choirs. I was doing musicals. Actually, sometimes 3 show choirs.
So when you draft for another person,
you think a lot before you draft. A lot.
I feel like let's talk about individual first.
Okay, individuals first.
Like a bride came to you, says they want this or
that.
Well,
she got a sloper.
Yeah, she got a sloper. Mm-hmm. You fitted it to her.
I'm thinking, when you say this, I'm thinking of like Cindy Giamalva comes to me and says, I want this dress from this movie.
Sure.
You know, to be my wedding dress. Or you coming to me and saying, my future mother-in-law's getting married, and I told her we would make her dress. Now, we didn't know what she was going to pick.
That's right.
Which is what you should ask first. Both of those dresses, the only reason I did this is we were somehow connected, related, or you know, lifelong friends with these people. So I had to make these from like moving pictures or snapshots with part of the. It wasn't even like I had a full picture of any of these dresses.
What movie was Cindy's dress from?
The one. It was a remake with Harrison Ford, and she goes to Paris. The girl goes to Paris and comes back.
That's. I don't know.
It's a girl's name. It'll come. I want to say Selena. That's not right.
No.
What is it? It's somebody's name. It's a girl's name.
Okay. Well, moving on. Sorry. I just didn't know. And then my mother-in-law, and she wasn't my mother-in-law yet, she was getting married, and she wanted Paul McCartney's wife at the time.
Right.
I guess
it is. It's his current wife also. Okay. Yes. The most recent wife.
Yes. She wanted her wedding dress.
Yeah, her dress.
So,
which Stella McCartney, of course,
designed,
and it was lovely. A very tailored, sort of a tailored shirtwaist dress. I assumed was made out of crepe. That's what I decided. But nowhere could we find a description or a full picture. I had literally like a picture of one sleeve where she was shaking someone's hand, and then a glimpse of the back of it, you know, in another shot. And so I had no picture of like this dress totally. We looked and we looked and we looked and we could not find it.
So you would measure these people.
Yes.
And when you're looking at design details like that, you might reference a pattern.
Right.
Maybe like that has some, you know, ruched something or other, or a specific neckline. Now,
to see how it was made.
Carolyn's dress had that. What's that? That shawl
collar?
Shawl collar. And you knew enough and had made enough things with shawl collars.
That would be a real good one to cheat on.
Yeah.
To go find a shawl collar pattern and draft that part. Using
into your sloper,
right?
Like, yeah,
right.
But I think you draft. I think you. Yeah, did you draft that without aid?
Yes, and I remember drafting it, and I remember it worked the first time, and I was kind of surprised that it went so well.
Right,
You know, the other thing we did with that.
So, I want to say that shawl collar. That's a. If you don't know what we're talking about, it's where, like, if you were to drape like a necklace over your. Neck, right? There's no back seam at the collar.
No, there is a back seam at the collar.
No,
the collar comes off of the dress.
Yes.
So you're not, The collar is part of the dress. I don't know how to.
It's kind of hard to explain.
Yeah.
And the reason
well, a lot of cardigans have shawl collars, but they're added.
Yes. But what I want to say is it's a weird thing.
Yes.
And it's pretty impressive that mom could draft it.
There's not like a neck hole that a collar goes into.
Yes. That's not how it happens. It's part, so yes, the part front of the dress
actually has the full collar on it, and then you attach it to the back of the dress.
So it has to match up.
And I don't know why I thought that's what it was, even by looking at the pictures I had. I really thought that's what it was.
Well, and you knew the reason you could do that is because you'd made garments that were constructed like this.
Hundreds
before.
Of them.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
So that's why you knew that. Okay. Right. So drafting for that person, you take these measurements. You might reference a pattern or right. not if you have got all of that experience. And then you make a muslin for them.
I made a full muslin for
right.
her.
Right. Right.
And I made the muslin like the dress. Mm-hmm. I didn't make her a sloper first, if I remember correctly. We did have some sort of time limitation. And I figured if I made the muslin, I'd be okay.
Well, you also are more experienced.
That's true.
And the dress, yeah. while it had these kind of tailored details, it wasn't super fitted. It's not like it was.
Well, I felt like it was. It had a set-in waistband.
Yeah. I was just thinking, like, around her bust, it got to be, like, a little looser and stuff.
There was a little bit of a flow. The bust had tucks and not darts.
Right.
There were tucks, you know, at the waistband that came up. And Carolyn was not, like, a bizarre shape or anything. I didn't see, like, any big problem I was going to have. And then by making the muslin, I think one thing that happened is Mrs. McCartney had pleats in her dress. And I put pleats in the muslin. And when I looked at them on Carolyn, I said, I think you're going to be better off if we actually do. It was more like a little gather that
uh-huh,
we did.
Uh-huh.
And I think it looked better on her.
Right, right.
You know, I think we had maybe pleats in front and gathered. I can't remember exactly what we did. We need to get that dress
back.
Yeah,
I was going to say, I should ask her for it. Yeah.
It had covered buttons. I remember
I told her to wear it to my wedding
right.
2 months later.
It was
and she wouldn't. And it was beige. I wore like a blush colored dress.
No, it was
ugliest
hers was
dress
not,
you've ever
hers was
seen.
Not beige.
What did I call
beige?
It?
Who did you say beige? Yours?
I said hers was beige.
No, hers was
like
just
cream.
No,
or...
well, it was what I would call an oyster, an off-white.
Oh, excuse me.
Or an off-white. And this was funny because I said, when we were ordering fabrics, we got a couple of samples. I said, I believe this is out of crepe,
uh-huh.
you know, the way it's hanging, and a good quality polyester crepe, I believe, will give you what you want. It won't wrinkle.
Right.
It'll be light enough. It'll look nice. And I said, and then we'll also have to buy a lining. And she says, I don't want it lined. And I said, it's a white dress.
Got to have something
so,
under there.
So here's what happens when you do draft for other people. You do have to tell them sometimes what they have to have. They
right.
can't just dictate to you because you know more than they do. And I said, well, I will either line the dress or you will have to wear a full slip. I said, I guarantee you we will be able to see through it. And I said, and this was in a church. And I said, if you're standing in that church and there's any beam of sunlight, everybody's going to see your knickers, right?
Right.
So she accepted the lining.
Yeah, that was pretty cheap fabric. Like
it was very inexpensive
fabric.
I bet it was really nice quality.
Yeah.
It really sewed up well.
I mean, it was a poly crepe, so it's not like we ordered like silk
right.
crepe or something. I think it was $5.50 a yard.
Was that all?
Yeah. And
I didn't remember.
It worked so nicely.
Yeah. It looked really nice. And the dress was very nice.
Let's talk about, okay, so that's individual. It's a little bit more like we're trying to make one person happy.
Right.
Where this happened for you in your life was making these wedding dresses or these formal dresses. Let's talk about drafting a pattern, a multi-size pattern
okay.
for a group of children, high school students. So I remember seeing this. You would have a costume pattern and it would have a name on it that I recognized. It would be like gold vest. And I'm like, I know mom made a bunch of gold vests. It says gold vest, small, medium, and large.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, oh. So, like, you took, and I remember taking everybody's measurements because
mm-hmm.
I'd go with you to do that. So, you'd take everybody's measurements
mm-hmm.
and then
exactly.
you would draft sizes, guys.
Right.
Now,
you know? These sizes had nothing to do with industry, they had to do with what sizes those people were.
Yeah. So, if you had an itty bitty little person and then a bigger person.
It was kind of funny. It would be like, well, this is Kara. And, you know, this is Hillary. And Hillary is just Kara with bigger boobs.
There you go.
It would, you know, so I would start to group these bodies.
Yes.
Okay. Now, vests were easy, of course, for guys, you know. Okay, so a small is going to go on to, you know, just two of the guys. The medium is going to go on probably eight of the guys.
Right.
You know, and the large is probably going to go on four to six of the guys, you know, however many.
You have like a bell curve. Like
Right. It was really like that. And then I would know that that's what I needed to cut out because I would cut out multiples, right? So I could cut out. I wasn't cutting out one pattern for each person.
Mom didn't draft a sloper and draft and muslin out for each single.
No. And
kid.
I did a lot of built-in, what I call built-in alterations, or built-in things that could be like snugged up or let out. So basically, I would cut this, whatever, the eight mediums, right? Mm-hmm. And I did know someone was short-waisted.
Right.
Okay. Or I did know, you know, there might have to be an alteration there. And I would make it where I could cut it off from the bottom.
Yeah.
And not alter it from the middle.
Yeah.
And I would know that, you know, the little belt in the back had to be 4 inches above the, you know, I'd make these things up. I'll tell you what I really drafted that was, were those pink leotards for Crazy for You.
Uh-huh.
And those were kind of funny because I had this pattern. I just kept folding and unfolding and folding. And I had all these
different... This girl's tall. This girl's short.
Yeah, I had all these different girls' names on where I folded it and what I did and everything.
Well, I think that's really interesting for people to think about because when you look at a commercial pattern, sometimes people are like, oh, I don't know which size I am because I'm right between the sizes, right? So Mom was drafting a pattern for these performers and... She might put a medium on a guy with a, I don't know what a medium chest measurement is on a man.
I don't know, 34.
A 34 inch and like a 35 inch guy, they might just wear the same vest.
Right.
You know, just like in normal clothing.
Right.
You know, which I just think is so cool that you sort of like duplicated the process.
Well, and what I did, and what I did is they had a belt that could you know, in the back, that cinched it up or something like that. Absolutely.
Well, and you left room for alterations. It's not like she was like,
I also kept in mind that maybe these could be used again.
Yes.
You know.
Yes.
Right.
Well, I just think that that really blew my mind. I feel like when I first realized that that's what you were doing, that, you know, this girl and this girl were both wearing the same size pattern.
That's right.
You know, that you had drafted.
But one was taller.
Yeah. Now,
And where was she taller? Maybe it was only the length of the skirt, so I only had to make this.
So then you didn't have to overbuy patterns
and
trace off of patterns.
Nope.
Here you go, guys. Team trace, team cut that bleep out, or team draft your own damn pattern.
Yeah. Here's the one issue with doing that, right?
Yeah.
Is you might be cutting out six dresses all the same size. And if you make a wrong cut, you've made six wrong cuts.
That's where you use your electric rotary cutter,
I did have an electric rotary cutter.
People ask about that.
It's the most amazing thing in the whole world. It is not a cheap instrument. It was like $250 or something. But it saved you know, my hand, my arm, my time. It was well worth it.
I've been thinking a lot about money and time recently.
Yeah, time is much more important than money as far as
I'm concerned. Time is money. Money is time, whatever, you know. Okay, so I think that's a good discussion of drafting your own patterns. Of course, we didn't like instruct you on
how to draft
your own pattern.
So the other thing is draping.
Another podcast?
It might be.
I think it is.
Is it?
I think another podcast because it has to do with design.
Mm-hmm.
It would maybe be incorporated along with like bias and grain and fabric type and stuff.
So if anybody is interested in learning to drape, like Mallory said, there's a lot of classes out there and everything, but Mallory does have the Easy Tea as a class.
Draft, not drape, I guess.
I'm sorry.
Don't you think?
I say it wrong.
Yeah, you
I'm
said
sorry.
Anyone interested
if
in drape.
If anybody's interested in drafting.
Yeah.
Okay. There are a lot of classes out there, but Mallory has an Easy Tea. We have an Easy Tea class, and then the class that I give is the leggings class. And the leggings class came out of show choir.
It did.
I had to make tights for 12 boys to sing Men in Tights. 12 teenage boys. Let me tell you about that.
So if you,
that was a riot.
If you wonder if the made-to-measure legging class will work for someone with voluminous genitalia, yes, it
yes.
will.
Yes,
it worked
it will.
For the Green Machine Men's Show Choir at Rock Ridge High
and
School.
They won first place every place they went.
Ta-da. I think those two classes...
Well, what I'm saying is, those are a really good place, I think, to start... to see if you would like to do that, mm-hmm. even. They're very simple. They're very straightforward. We walk everybody through them, you know, very well, I think. And instead of just taking the, oh, I'm going to take a Sloper class, I just think that eases you into it.
I think it does, too. And I've heard that from other people. Actually, the biggest compliment I feel that I've gotten on the EZT class is from Marty. She is a...
I love Marty.
Okay, and Marty, I hope you don't mind. I won't say your last name. Marty is a very petite woman with a very large bust.
She's got some.
Yeah. Yep. So she has a shape that is not found on the pattern envelope.
That's right.
Ever. Okay, so she said that after taking the EZT class, she felt so confident in sort of like measuring her body and then putting it flat on pattern paper that she drafted her own bra.
Yeah.
And
no,
I was like, what?
She freaks me out. She's very industrious. Like, I remember her, like, starting out knowing her online, and it seemed like she didn't have that much knowledge, and now she's, like, drafting bras.
I don't know. I think she's like, been sewing for a while, but...
Well, I think, it didn't seem to me, because when she did the EZT, it was like, oh, and then all of a sudden, this is the most fabulous.
This
and she
is
just
my
keeps
bra
going.
That I made for my very unique body shape. Like, this is a bra that does not exist on the pattern envelope.
That's
like,
right.
Whoa. Right. I was really impressed. Right. So, Marty, I hope you listen. We're very impressed with you. Thank you for saying that the EZT class kind of helped you. And that's what I think that the EZT class does. You take these measurements. It's not a super tailored garment.
No, but I think it helps you get the concept of what's going to happen when you draft a pattern.
Right.
It's not a lot of, you know, if you're going to do your Sloper, it's not going to be those, how many measurements are in EZT? I don't know.
Me neither. Seven.
I mean, you know, less than a dozen, okay?
Sure.
So if you're going to, and if you're going to draft a Sloper pattern for a sheath, there's going to be more than 12 measurements.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
You know, there are going to be a lot of measurements. Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you so much for listening. We are ZD Sewing Studio on Instagram, and you can shout us out, and we'd love to hear from you. Mom's on Instagram, too. She's ZD Donahue.
That's right.
I don't have a personal Instagram. I've just got the self-sewn wardrobe. I'm all business on the social media and ZD Sewing Studio. I run both accounts.
And she runs me, too.
And sometimes I think I'm one account, and I see the other account, like, I see the other account on,
what
I
noticed,
I comment, and I don't.
What I noticed today is we posted exactly the same thing, almost, like, simultaneously.
We posted the same
photo. It was really
funny. Yeah. Mom's got her aerial hijinks on there. And you can email me at mallory@sewhere.com, and, take it away, Mom.
So long and so happy.
Thanks for listening to Sewing Out Loud. For even more expert sewing advice, visit sewhere.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.